Hi, welcome to Skip's Corner, where I cover Nashville's baseball history and events and introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans.
I've gotten to know Bobby Dernbaugh over the years, and I always enjoy visiting with him, talking to him on the phone. I met him many years ago when my dad was calling on sporting goods stores in Southwest Ohio, and I think he called on Jim Collins Sporting Goods, and there was Bobby Dernbaugh, and Dad knew his name, and I think they struck up a conversation, later developed into a friendship. And then when he moved to George Meek Company, George Meek Sporting Goods in Springfield, I was fortunate enough to be able to call on Bobby, and that was a kind of a setting where you could talk business for about 20 minutes and then talk baseball for another 40. And I always enjoyed those stories because Bobby has such a great memory. And he's been in town several times, and I've been able to record him. Most recently, he was at the Southern Association Conference in Birmingham at Rickwood Field. They have a player each year to come in and speak to the group, and Bobby was as good as any of them. He told great stories, and when people would ask him questions, he answered right away. And he's just got such a good memory. He played here in Nashville in 1955 and 56, 1958 and 59. And he played a couple of places in 1957, Seattle and Omaha. But he was also called up to the Reds on September the 22nd. He got into to a game, and on September, but he didn't bat. In September the 27th, he faced Lou Burdett as a pinch hitter, and he bounced out to Johnny Logan. So he had two games in the majors. The Cincinnati Reds have honored him. They've had him down at their Hall of Fame and recorded him and showed him a baseball that he had signed along with other teammates. And I know he was thrilled about that. Bobby just is a good guy, and I think you'll enjoy listening to some of these stories. These go back a couple of years. He had his family with him. I was showing them pictures of different players and pictures of Sulphurdale, and he took great delight in talking about those pictures and especially telling his family what Sulphurdale was like, and it seemed like he was reliving those memories all over again. So I hope you enjoy listening to Bobby Dernbaugh. What a great guy. I really enjoy him, and I always appreciate our opportunities to talk to each other.
Tom Acker's shoulders were about that wide. He threw back to second base on a pickoff play one day, and I said, I'll never do that again. Never. That ball was so heavy, so hard. I said, I'll just wait. Now, there's the ballpark. See, level here, up a terrace, fence, and up above there's a big high fence. That's Sulphurdale. He'll probably have more of that.
That's got a little bit of the left field wall. It's a little bit of
that. I don't know yet. That tells you a little bit more about the ballpark. Flat here, up to terrace, fence, and let's see, that would be in right center field, so the fence might stop out here someplace you can't see. But that's down in the hole, Mary. He's one of the best pitchers I ever played with, and he didn't throw that hard. But he is good. He had a good changeup. Bob Kelly is a good pitcher.
Yeah.
I liked him. Rick Pitello, I know. Rick and Larry Taylor and I shared a trailer for a year.
This guy?
Yeah. Rick was from California, left-hand pitcher.
There's Larry.
Larry Taylor. Best second baseman I ever played with. He was really a good guy. That's the best manager I ever played with.
Ernie White?
I loved him.
But you liked it?
Yes, sir.
He was part of the Gas House gang in the 30s.
Yeah.
Dizzy Dean.
Ernie almost got me hooked up after I got out of baseball to go back to Kansas City, and they changed general manager, and that didn't happen. We were playing in New Orleans one day, and I went out after a ball, and Bobby Hazel came in after a ball, and Charlie Williams hollered, Bobby, Bobby. And I put my hand out, and the ball hit my glove, and Bobby Hazel caught it. We come pretty close to a collision. Played with Mike Lutz in spring training, but I don't think he did play here, though.
Yeah.
I remember, he played here. He's a sheriff in Georgia someplace.
Really?
Yeah. Ben Downs. Ben could hit the ball pretty good. I'll be doing.
Then there's Bob Kelly. I think we already had one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's my favorite pitcher. I really like to play behind him.
Now, this guy... pretty famous around here.
You ain't kidding.
That's you.
Yeah, that's after the uniform. Ain't no uniform on him.
voted by the players as the world as the most valuable player that year?
Neil Chrisley. It's on a road someplace. Where would that have been? I wonder. Double tiered. Could have been Chattanooga.
That's probably Chattanooga.
Yes.
That's left field. I mean, right field, because left field had those two Coke bottles on either side of the scoreboard, didn't it? You remember that? Coke bottles.
I know one thing. They had a really nice, but it was big infield. Infield. You get back to the grass at shortstop, you're back there.
Uh-huh.
This had to have been 58 or 59. I chased a ball down one night in left field. And there's a big tower down, the light tower. And I was pretty close to that tower, but I was way down in there. And I caught the ball. And Jim Fridley said, "Damn, Bobby," he said, "if you wouldn't call him so soon," he said, "I'd save you all them steps." "He'd stand right there and let me catch it." I remember Jim Sprankle. He always come on the mound and pitched. It seemed like to me the ball was hit between third and short. Went into left field, and he'd stand there, you know, like that. And finally, one day, Sisler said, "Bobby, you know, I'd move around out there at shortstop a little bit." I said, "Skip, you can move me anytime you want to. Where you want me to move?" "Oh," he said, "just move around a bit." You've been talking to Jim Sprankle, and he never answered me. So I knew who he'd been talking to. And I said, "You tell Jim Sprankle to move me anytime he wants to move me." O'Toole was like that. Jim O'Toole. I was taking batting practice one night, and the guy says, "Hit me one, Bobby." They looked around, they didn't see anybody. And they hit a ball, and they said, "Hit me one, Bobby." And finally, I found Frank Smith, and Frank Smith was up there in one of them holes. "Up here?" I said, "I couldn't hit it out of there for nothing, you know."
That's Cal up to the end.
Calvin. R.C. Yody laid a bunt down on him one night in Little Rock, and Calvin picked the ball up and drilled him right in the middle of the back. I said, "Calvin, what the hell did you do that for? You had him out." He said, "You won't bunt on me no more." Earl Averill. His dad's the one that hit the line drive and busted Dizzy Dean's toe.
He's in the Hall of Fame. His dad is.
This is Earl A. Look at the size of this guy now. And we had a pitcher by the name of Jerry Lane. Over in Chattanooga, Lyle Luttrell was a hitter, and Lyle Luttrell walked up in the batter's box and tried to hit his curveball, and Jerry said, "Don't do that no more," and he threw him another curveball, and he walked up in the box, and he missed it again, and Jerry Lane plunked him, and he threw his bat at him, and Earl stepped out from behind home plate and broke his jaw. Well, I saw him at home plate. He had blood run out of his mouth, right on home plate. But Earl knocked that crap out of him. And then the police went in to get him, and two guys, Tom Acker and Jim Adkins, wouldn't let the detective in. He said, "Hey, you better let me in." So they let him in, but they weren't going to let nobody in. But they arrested him. Had to go to court. He was thrown out.
Well, there you have Bobby Dernbaugh, and I know what I'm going to get some emails and some phone calls, and someone say hello to me, and then they'll say, "We didn't hear enough of Bobby Dernbaugh." Well, there's more, and I'll save that for another time, because this is so rich, and I'm really blessed by Bobby, and I hope you find that he was a blessing to you too. He's just a good one, and I'm honored to know him. I hope you enjoyed this segment of Skip's Corner. I hope you'll come back. If you want to contact me, you can contact me at 262downright@gmail.com, or you can go to baseballinnashville.com and click on the contact tab. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.